Last week on Hope of Our Calling.
Hear the still small voice of the Lord saying, this is the way, walk in it. And yet the Lord is consistently there. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He is giving us wisdom liberally as we ask for it. He has given us his very own Spirit who knows all things about the Lord to dwell in our hearts. We're not alone. And we're not orphans. We haven't been left empty-handed or ill-equipped. We have God himself dwelling in us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. We are called to be sanctified, set apart. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. Knowing above all things that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have a plan, and we are part of it. We are his masterpiece, and he is completing his work in us.
Come, thou fountain, every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace.
Thanks for joining us at the Hope of Our Calling. Let's get started in our study of Ephesians. This week's study is called Walk Filled. Last week we looked at walking circumspectly and walking wisely, redeeming the times for the days were evil. And as we've noticed, we've been learning how to walk, from walking worthy to walking as imitators, as children, as dearly beloved, walking in the light, and to last week, walking circumspectly and walking wisely. We've been speaking about putting off the things of this world and putting on his robes of righteousness and holiness that were given to us at the moment of what I call the great exchange, where our sins were exchanged for his blood. He took our sins and we got to take his holiness. It reminds me of what Paul wrote about in Romans 12, where he said, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We've been sanctified. We've been set apart. And therefore, he calls us to newness of life. And that's what we've been talking about these past few weeks, is learning how to walk in that newness of life. One of the things we learned last week is that we're to be wise because the days are evil, because the adversary prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We've got to be careful that we wouldn't be a part of stumbling others as they watch us, because as my pastor said last night, the unbelievers aren't going to walk into church and ask their questions. No, they're going to watch us. And we have to be prepared not only to give an answer for the hope that lies in us, but to demonstrate Christ to them, to share Christ with them. Instead of helping them to stay in the darkness. So our scripture reading for today is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 through 21. Be not drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. We will probably end up breaking this apart a bit just so that we can spend time to understand. So let's get started on verse 18. It says, be not drunk with wine in which is dissipation or excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And we touched a little bit on this last week. The word dissipation or excess means worthless, ruinous, like a prodigal. And it reminded us of Luke 15, where the Lord spoke a parable, and he said, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possession with prodigal living. That's what this word dissipation means, prodigal living. And when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. And as we studied last week, Matthew Henry said that drunkenness is a sin that seldom goes alone, but often involves men in other instances of guilt. It is a sin very provoking to God and a great hindrance to the spiritual life. And that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about the spiritual life, the deposit of God's very Spirit given to us upon our declaration as Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Proverbs chapter 20 verse 1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Remember last week's exhortation to be wise because the days were evil. Let's take a look at three examples in the Old Testament where alcohol had an adverse effect. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 21, we see Noah. After the ark had come to an end, he went out and he planted a vineyard. And verse 21 says, he drank of the wine and became drunk and lay uncovered in his tent. Now this led to his offspring being cursed because one of his three sons made a mockery of his father being uncovered and went and gossiped it to his brothers. Next example, Genesis chapter 9, verse 32. Lot, after all that had happened in Sodom and Gomorrah, his daughters and him fled. His wife had already, unfortunately, turned around and been made into a pillar of salt. He and his daughters fled to the mountain. And the daughters, yes, fearing that they were the only ones left, but unfortunately, they used their earthly wisdom and did not seek God. And this was their conclusion. Come, let us make our father drink wine, that we will lie with him, that we may preserve offspring from our father. That's not godly wisdom. That's earthly wisdom. That's incest. The third example is Ahasuerus in Babylon through Esther chapter 1, verse 10. It says, on the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehamim, Bizeth, Harbona, Bigtha, and Abitha, Zahar, and Carcass, the seven eunuchs who served in the presence of King Ahasuerus, to bring Vashti, the queen, before him. Now, Queen Vashti didn't want to come before a drunken party of men, and so she refused to come. And unfortunately, was thus banished. Granted, God used this to open the door for Esther. He will always make lemonade of our lemons. However, though we're forgiven of our sins, there is always consequence. We have to remember that when we live the exchanged life that we saw in Romans 12, we exchanged our temporal desires for the eternal righteousness and holiness of God. And when we seek Him, when we seek His Spirit, we can ask for wisdom. And in James it says that He gives it liberally. The Life Application Study Bible regarding Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18 says, Paul contrasts getting drunk with wine, which produces a temporal high, to being filled with the Spirit, which produces lasting joy. Getting drunk with wine is associated with the old way of life and its selfish desires. In Christ, we have a better joy that is higher and longer lasting to cure our depression, our monotony, or even our tensions. The Life Application Study Bible goes on to say, we should not be concerned with how much of the Holy Spirit we have, but with how much of us the Holy Spirit has. So we need to submit ourselves daily to His leading and draw constantly on His power. Deuteronomy 29 verse 6 says, you have not eaten bread and you have not drunk wine or strong drink. Now here's why. That you may know that I am the Lord your God. The problem with any type of intoxication, whether it be alcohol, drugs, lusts of the flesh, lust of the eyes, or even pride of life, is that it interferes with His Spirit's still small voice. Remember, the scripture says, you will hear a small voice saying, this is the way, walk in it. Intoxication creates a static in the communication between us and God's Spirit. It also opens up the gates for the enemy to lie and plant seeds of doubt. Think about Eve. Would the enemy have had any influence on her if she was, as Colossians 3:2 says, having her heart or her affections set on things above? If she had been dwelling with a thankful heart that Philippians chapter 4:7 talks about, it would have produced His peace that guards our heart and mind. That's what we need. His peace that guards our heart and mind. With any type of intoxication, we become set on the things of the earth. And we have to remember the lion prowling around, seeking whom he may devour. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3 says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Proverbs chapter 15:24 says, and the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from the hell beneath. When we set our minds on things above, when we seek out the Lord in His Word, in meditating on His Word, spending time in communion with the Lord, the things of this earth do grow dim. And we find that He, yes, is our escape. I turn to the Lord for every escape I need. From every frustration, from every anger, from every lust that plagues my earthly flesh, I seek His Spirit in me. And He is faithful to deliver me. He will always make a way of escape. He is the ever-present help in time of need. Romans chapter 8 verse 13 says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Isn't that our goal? To be led by the Spirit of God? The Spirit that created everything there is. We used to say in all the universe. Now it looks like we have to say in all the universes. God flung them into being, and His Spirit dwells within us. Isn't that what we should be craving, not fulfilling the intoxicated lusts of our flesh? Earlier in Ephesians, in chapter 3, verse 16, it says, and He will grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, that's speaking of his love, which is sacrificial love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, that's all comprising, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I crave to be filled with all the fullness of God. I think we will spend eternity getting to know the fullness of God. But while we're here on earth, we have to remember that God has a plan, and that plan requires Him working in us to will and do of His good pleasure. That's Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. But it also requires that we're listening, that we're not filled with the things of this earth that become the static, but that we're filled with the peace of His Spirit. Here's some of the benefits of being filled. Exodus chapter 31, verse 3 says, "And I have been filled with Him, the Spirit of God, in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship." And further on in Exodus chapter 35, verse 31, it says, "He hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship." Meaning that when God has a plan to do in our lives, He will fill us with the wisdom and with the understanding and with the knowledge and with all manner of workmanship that we would complete the job that He has commissioned us to do, because where God guides, God provides. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." The Holy Spirit fills us with His power and His gifts for His glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 4, it says, "Now these are the diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." Meaning that the whole body of Christ would profit. "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the works of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severely as He will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also in Christ." You see, saints, we've talked previously about being the body of Christ, about being the temple of His Holy Spirit, about being His bride. God's Spirit within us, God seeking to fill us to overflowing with His Holy Spirit, is to the building up of the body, that the body would be used for His glory. The Holy Spirit fills us with His power, fills us with His gifts for His glory. And Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, that you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." It is that lust of our flesh that is the static that keeps us from hearing the Holy Spirit. But God, continuing with the prodigal story from Jesus in Luke, verse 17 of chapter 15 says, "But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. God's desire is for us to be filled with his Spirit, saints, that our lines of communication would be open to him and our minds clear that we might know him. Have you become drunk with the intoxications of this world? Are you filled with dissipations? Are you filled with the prodigal spirit that is leading you off? Then fulfill the conclusion of this parable. Return and repent. And the Father, while we are still afar off, who knows our thoughts afar off, will fall upon us, kissing us, clothing us again with his robes of righteousness. We need to be filled with his Spirit. When Paul wrote this, it was an imperative present meaning that we would now be filled with his Spirit. So, Father, if there are any who are listening, any who have had a prodigal spirit, help them now to return and repent. And in your faithfulness, wash them and cleanse them from all unrighteousness. Help them now, Lord, to be filled with your Spirit, filled to overflowing. Help them know, Lord, that you are faithful to complete what you've begun in us. And that in that faithfulness, Lord, we can commit ourselves to receiving your Holy Spirit, to be overflowing with your Holy Spirit, to be vessels of living water through your Holy Spirit to be poured out onto lives that are perishing, that they might come into the kingdom of light. Thank you, Father, that you are faithful. Saints, we should not be satisfied with a little bit of the Spirit. We need to be eager to be filled with his Spirit. We've already received the deposit of his Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit by the ways of this world, the lusts of this world, the dissipations of this world. Be the temple of his Holy Spirit. Be used by his Spirit, because he will do exceedingly and abundantly above anything that you can ask or think if you would but yield yourself as an emptied out vessel to be filled overflowing with his Holy Spirit. We'll talk more next week about the benefits of the Holy Spirit and what it will be like in making melody, singing songs to one another in thanksgiving. Till then, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. Be willing. Commit yourself to receive all the Lord has already prepared for you. In Jesus' name.
Have a blessed week and join us again next week for the Hope of Our Calling.
For more information on Hope of Our Calling, go to agapechapeloc.org/Kendra or by email at kendramartinministries@gmail.com.